This week's Parsha is Parsha's Boy, and in Parsha's Boy, we have the ninth plague, which is the plague of darkness, and the description of the plague of darkness starts in chapter 10, Pasuk 21, and it goes to Pasuk 23. We will recite these three psukim, and we will analyze how the rabbis describe the words. Like that, we will see exactly what happened during this plague. Pasuk number 21 starts, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Netei yadcho al ha-shamayim, stretch out your hands over the heaven, V'yichoshech al eretz Mitzrayim, and there will be darkness over the land of Egypt. V'yomesh choshech, the simple interpretation which we'll give is, and the darkness will become darker. We will see that Rashi will give other interpretations on the word V'yomesh choshech, and we'll see exactly how this plays out according to other rabbis. Pasuk number 22, the pasuk says, Vayet Moshe Yod al Hashamayim, that Moshe Rabbeinu stretched forth his hands over the heaven, Vayehi Choshech Afela Bechol Eretz Mitzrayim, and there was a dark gloom in all the land of Egypt. The pasuk 23 describes what happened in the darkness, Loirau ish esachiv, that no man saw his brother, veloikamu ish mitachtov, nor could anyone get up from his place, shloishes yomim, 3 days, ulechol bnei Yisrael, ayu oir b'moishvoisam, but for all the children of Israel, there was light in their dwellings. It doesn't say exactly in whose dwellings was light, and we will see that there are a couple different interpretations in whose dwellings there was light. Now let's go over the psukim and analyze it more carefully and see exactly what the words mean and exactly what is written in this psukim. Pasuk number 21 says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to stretch out his arm on the heavens and it'll be darkness on the land of Egypt. Ve'yomesh choshech, and we translate according to the first interpretation of Rashi, and the darkness will become darker. Rashi explains that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that he should make the day turn into night, meaning that during the day it will be the darkness which will be greater than the darkness of the night. But V'yomesh Choshech means that the darkness of night will be even extraordinary dark, even more than regular night, meaning since the day now, which normally is light, is dark a little bit more than night, then the night darkness, which is normally dark, will become intensified and will become even more dark. And according to this interpretation, Rashi says the word Vayomesh comes from the word Emesh. Emesh means last night, which means Vayomesh, and the night will be even more choshech, will be even more dark, meaning the day is going to be dark, which is going to be a special darkness, and the night will be extraordinary dark, will be even more dark. But according to this interpretation, there is still going to be a difference between day and night. The day is going to be less dark than the night. Rashi brings the second interpretation, the interpretation of Targum Unculus, where Targum Unculus says that Bosar de Yedei Kovei Laila, meaning that the darkness will come to Egypt after the darkness of the night is removed, meaning that the word V'yomesh means it will be removed. And according to the way Rashi interprets Targum Unculus, that word comes from the word that is written after the Jewish people left Egypt. Hashem put a pillar of clouds to protect us during the day and a pillar of light to illuminate us during the night. The pasuk on chapter 13, pasuk 22 says, Layomish amudanon yoimam, that Hashem will not remove the pillar of clouds during the day, vamudaweish laila, the pillar of fire during the night, lifneyam, from before the people. We see that the word yomish means remove, and according to this interpretation, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you know when to bring the darkness. As soon as the darkness of the night is removed, then the darkness will fall. Meaning, close to daylight, right when the darkness of the night normally is removed, that's when I want the darkness of the day to continue or to start. And that's what it means, v'yomesh choyshech, that as soon as the darkness of the night is removed, then I want the darkness of the day to come. In truth, there is two ways to interpret Rashi. The simple interpretation, as we mentioned now, is that samuch lo'oir hayom, meaning before it became daylight, the night moved over to the day. In other words, it became a contiguous, a constant night, and the night lasted during the plague of Choshech, meaning that there was a simple night over Egypt, and Hashem made a miracle that this night extended over the day and over the following days. It became like one big, constant, long night. It was no difference between day and night. It was just one long night. How long that night lasted, there's going to be a machlokes between the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra and Rashi, but regardless how we hold, the period that the plague was effective is as it would have been one long night, meaning that those days and nights became intertwined and it was just as dark as night. And this interpretation is clearer in the Lekach Tov. The Lekach Tov says, "V'nischabru choyshech shelayla v'choyshech hayom ke'echot." They became connected, the darkness of the night and the darkness of the day, as one. And so too, the Medrash Seichel Tov says the same thing, that everything became together and it became one long night. The Rabbeinu Bachya does not like this interpretation. Rabbeinu Bachya says that if it would be the interpretation that the night became longer, meaning that the Egyptians went to sleep one night and 3 days later it was still dark, the same darkness lasted for so long, the Egyptian would have thought this is just a weird phenomena. We know certain times during the year the night is very long. For example, in the winter, if the night would just continue to become longer, then the Egyptians would have thought that this is just a natural phenomena. True, not normal, but just a realignment of the planets, a realignment of the sun, and that caused the night to become longer. Therefore, Rabbeinu Bachya disagrees if the opinion that it was a constant night, meaning that the miracle started in the morning, but it continued the night into the morning. And he says that the miracle actually was samuch le'oir hachama, close to the light of day, but after the light of day was there, meaning that first it was light for a short period of time, and after the light shone and all the Egyptians saw that it's clearly daytime, now the night moved into the day and now it became dark. Then everybody saw that the darkness overtook the day and the day became dark for the Egyptians, meaning that everybody was able to see a clear miracle that the day all of a sudden got dark, and that dark lasted for as many days as the plagues lasted, depending what interpretation we are going to hold. But the beginning of the miracle, the first day, had to happen this way. In other words, had to happen that it should be light and then it become dark. Like that, the Egyptian will know for sure that this is a miracle of Hashem. And he claims that this is the opinion of Targum Yonison Ben Uziel also, that he says that in the morning the darkness came, not like the other interpretation of the Rashbam and the other Mefarshim that say that it was constant night and the night just became long. It was actually the miracle happened by day, and that's what it means by Yomesh Choyshech, that once it's day, Hashem will bring the darkness of the night, then everybody realized that it was a clear miracle from Hashem. Rashi brings a third interpretation from a Medrash Agada, that the language Vayomesh Choshech and darkness became touchable is from the language Memashish B'Tzaharayim, somebody who is touching, groping at noon, meaning that the darkness became thick and doubly thick until it actually had substance that you could actually touch it. Therefore, when it says Vayomesh Choshech, means that the darkness will become thick that you could touch. This interpretation of Rashi seems to be consistent with the Pasuk and with Rashi's interpretation on the next Pasuk, where the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu stretched out his hand, Vehi Choshech Afela Bechol Eretz Mitzrayim Shloshes Yamim, and there was a darkness of gloom in the land of Egypt for 3 days. And Rashi explains, what does it mean, Choshech Afela? Rashi explains that it was 3 days even darker than before, meaning that the first 3 days was dark, but the second 3 days was so dark that nobody could get up and nobody could sit down. As it's written in the next pasuk, that Loiro ish esach, if a person could not see his fellow, v'loikomu ish mitachtov, they couldn't get up from their place during the 3 days. So according to Rashi, there was two sets of 3 days. The first 3 days, anybody that wanted to sit could sit down, but they could not see because of the darkness. But on the second 3 days, it was so thick, the darkness became thick that you could touch it. And as a matter of fact, the Medrash says that it was as thick as a dinar zav, as a golden dinar, meaning that you couldn't move because it was like somebody is blocking you. And if you had your hands outstretched, you couldn't even bring your hands back in. If you wanted to sit down, you couldn't. And if you're sitting, you couldn't get up. Basically, it blocked all your movements. That happened in the second set of 3 days. And this interpretation is consistent with what we mentioned before, the third interpretation of Rashi, and that also becomes consistent with the Pasuk, because Pasuk 21 seems to imply that there was a two-step process, meaning that Hashem said, first, Neteyat Chol HaShomayim V'Choshech Al Eretz Mitzrayim, stretch out your hand over the heavens and it will be darkness on the land of Egypt, meaning the first 3 days of darkness, and then Vayomesh Choshech, and then the darkness will become thicker, which means the second 3 days, a two-step process. First, it will become dark, and then the darkness will become thicker. Rashi asks now a question, why did Hashem bring darkness over Egypt? What was the purpose for the plague of darkness? Rashi gives two answers. The first answer, Rashi says, is because amongst the Jewish people there were some reshoim, some evil people, meaning that there were people that didn't want to leave Egypt. They were very comfortable in Egypt. They didn't want to go to the desert. Even though they were all slaves in Egypt, nonetheless, a lot of times the unknown is worse than the troubles that you have, and they didn't want to leave Egypt. And those people died in the days of darkness. And don't think that it was just a few people. Rashi on Beshalach, chapter 13, Pasuk 18, where the Pasuk says, V'chamushim olu bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim, that the Jewish people came out armed, Rashi brings from the Medrash Tanchuma, chamushim means echot mechamisho yotzu, that only 1/5 came out of Egypt. The majority of the Jews, 4/5 of the Jews, meaning 80% of the Jews, died during the days of darkness. Then if the Egyptians would have seen so many Jews dying during the days of darkness, the Egyptians would have said, look, in the same way that we are suffering here with the Makkah of darkness, the Jewish people are actually suffering worse. They are actually dying all over the place. And if they see that, they will come to the realization that maybe not the God of the Jews is the one that is doing these things. They will come and say that a different deity is doing these plagues, because you see that even the Jewish people are suffering in such terrible ways. Then, if that would have happened, that would have caused a diminishing of the miracle. Also, even if they believe that is the Jewish God that is doing this plague, still, if you see somebody else suffering in a very weird way, that gives you some consolation. So much so that our rabbis have a saying that Tzoras Rabim Chatzi Nechama, that when a multitude is afflicted by the same pain, that is half a consolation, meaning that you are consoled by the fact that you are not the only one suffering, that there is somebody else's suffering with you. For example, if you are having a problem with Parnasa, but everybody in your country, everybody in your town is having a problem with Parnasa, that serves to you as a consolation that it's not something that you are doing, it's something that is happening to this country. That in itself will serve as a consolation. And Hashem didn't want to give any excuses for the Egyptians to have a consolation on the plagues that they are receiving. Therefore, Hashem made the darkness come that they shouldn't see the Jewish people falling and burying their dead. Just as a side note, there is another interpretation on the saying, Tzoras Rabim Chatzi Nechama, that when a lot of people are afflicted by the same problem, that itself serves as a consolation. Meaning that a lot of times, because there are other people afflicted with the same problem that you have, that serves you as a consolation, because you could find a support group for your problem. Meaning that you are able to open up and discuss with them, you are able to see how they cope, in the same way that victims of terror usually can't open up to the regular person, because they believe that a regular person that didn't go through the pain doesn't have the equipment, doesn't have the faculties to know what they are feeling, and they usually only open up to likewise people that went through the experience that they had, they went through the pain that they are receiving. Then they are able to cope and they are able to see how to cure it and what they did in order to help them out. That is what is meant by Tzoras Rabim Chatzi Nechama, that pains of a lot of people serve as a consolation, because you could learn from what they're doing and you could have a support group, and that in itself serves as a consolation. But going back to our Rashi, Rashi gives a second interpretation. Since the Jewish people knew that they are going to be slaves for 400 years, and after the 400 years, they are going to come out with a huge wealth, as it's written on chapter 15 of Bereishis, Pasuk number 14, says, "Vegam es agoya shoyavoidu don anoichi, and the nation that is enslaving the Jews, I will judge them, v'achare kein yeitzu b'rchush gadol, and then the people, the Jewish people, will come out if a huge wealth." And we are in the middle of Don Anoichi, that Hashem is punishing that nation that enslaved us. Then the Jewish people knew that they are going to come out if a huge wealth. And also on Parshas Shemos, chapter 3, Pasuk number 22, Hashem says that I will give the grace in the eyes of the Egyptians, and you're not going to come out empty. And a woman should ask from her neighbor and from the one who lives in her house, kli kesev ukli zav, vessels of gold and vessels of silver. And as a matter of fact, right after this plague, on chapter 11, pasuk number 2, Hashem asks us, please go, each man ask from his fellow and the woman from her fellow, vessels of gold and vessels of silver. Then the Jewish people knew that eventually they'll have to take vessels of gold and vessels of silver in order to fulfill Hashem's directive. Therefore, according to Rashi, Hashem brought darkness that the Jewish people will go to the houses of the Egyptian and see exactly where those vessels of gold and vessels of silver are located, like that when they leave Egypt and they ask the Egyptian, please lend me a vessel of gold and vessel of silver, and the Egyptian obviously is going to say, I don't have that vessel, then the Jew will tell him that, yes, you have that vessel and it is in this place. And then the Egyptian will be amazed that the Jew knew where that vessel is. And then the Egyptian will come to the realization that the Jew actually was in his house during the days of darkness. And the Egyptian will realize that the Jew, had he wanted, he could have taken that object outright. But since that would be stealing, and that caused a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of Hashem's name, that everybody saw that the Jew will not steal, then the Egyptian had no problem lending those vessels of gold and vessels of silver to the Jewish people. And because of that reason, Hashem brought the darkness so the Jewish people will be able to locate where those vessels of gold and vessels of silver were. Again, resuming, Rashi gives two different interpretations of why the darkness came. One is that it shouldn't be a benefit for the Egyptians, that the Egyptians shouldn't see the Jewish people dying. And the second, that it should be a benefit for the Jew, that the Jewish people should locate where the jewelry, where the gold and silver vessels of the Egyptians were, like that when the Jewish people leave, they'll be able to take this wealth with them to the desert. The Maharal in Gurariya is bothered why only in the Makkah of Choshech, in the Makkah of darkness, is Rashi asking a question, why did Hashem bring the darkness? Rashi doesn't ask this question on the other plagues. What happened in this plague that caused Rashi to ask this specific question? The Maharal answers that Rashi is bothered because in the other plagues, all the plagues happened from the first day, and they were constant throughout the plague, meaning that there was no change in the plague itself. For example, the plague of blood. The blood was everywhere from the first day until the seventh day. As Rashi says, that all the plagues took effect during 7 days. And so too all the other plagues, the frogs. The frogs were there for 7 days. But in this plague of Choshech, there is two different steps of the plague. One is that it was a regular darkness and people could move around during the first 3 days, but yet it was just dark. And the second step of the plague was that during the second 3 days, it was so dark and so thick that nobody could even move and change positions during those plagues. Why was it necessary to have this duality within this plague? And this is what Rashi means when Rashi asks, why did Hashem give the plague of darkness? It doesn't mean necessarily the plague of darkness. It means, why did Hashem give this component in the plague of darkness, that it should have this duality? And the Maharal answers that when Rashi gives the two reasons why the plague of darkness came, Rashi is not trying to say that it is either because the Jewish people were burying their dead or because the Jewish people had to borrow vessels of gold and vessels of silver. Rashi is actually saying that both reasons is the reason why the plague of darkness came, meaning that we require to have both reasons in order to explain the duality of the plague of darkness, meaning that the first 3 days of plagues, the reason was that the Egyptians should not see us burying our dead, and the second 3 days of the plague, the reason was that we should be able to go look in the house of the Egyptians for vessels of gold and vessels of silver. And we explain it like that during the first 3 days, since the purpose for the first 3 days is that the Egyptians would not see the Jewish people burying their dead, then it's not necessary to make the component in the plague that the Egyptians shouldn't be able to move, because the Egyptians could move within their house or move anywhere they want, but as long as it's dark for them and they can't see what the Jewish people are doing, that component of darkness is enough that the Egyptians won't rejoice in seeing the Jewish people dying and burying their dead. But in the next phase of the plague, where Hashem wanted that the Jewish people borrow the vessels of gold and vessels of silver, that it's already necessary that the Egyptians shouldn't be able to move. Because had the Egyptian be able to move, then the Egyptian, as soon as he heard somebody coming in through his house, would have followed the noise and he would have gone and stopped the Jew from investigating and from going through his house in order to find the vessels of gold and vessels of silver. Therefore, Hashem had to incapacitate the Egyptian, make him immovable, make the darkness for the Egyptians so thick that they can't even move their arms, they can't sit and they can't stand up. Then even if they heard the Jewish people rummaging through their things, they can't do anything in order to stop them because they can't move. Therefore, Hashem had to send the plague in two stages. The first stage, since it was only necessary to prevent the Egyptians from seeing the Jewish people burying their dead, then it was enough to have darkness. But the second phase, since it was necessary for the Jew to come in to the house of the Egyptian and going through his stuff, and normally a person who hears that will block him, then it was necessary for the darkness to be so thick that the Egyptian cannot move. Once the Egyptian can move, then the Jewish people are able to go through the houses and they are able to rummage through the things of the Egyptian. Mefarshim ask a very strong question in Rashi's language. Rashi's language on the first interpretation is Shehoyu b'Yisrael bo'isu ador reshoim. They're among the Jewish people of that generation, they're wicked individuals. Velohayu roitzim lotzeis, and they didn't want to leave Egypt. And therefore they died in the 3 days of darkness. The question that Mefarshim ask is, why does Rashi need both reasons to tell you why they died? Rashi says that they were evil people and they didn't want to go out of Egypt. Why isn't the reason that they were evil people enough of a reason that Hashem killed them? Why does Rashi have to continue and saying that they were evil people and they didn't want to go out of Egypt? What is the point of not wanting to go out of Egypt? The fact that they were evil people should be reason enough that Hashem should kill them. The simple answer that Mefarshim say is that Rashi is saying that they were evil people because they didn't want to go out of Egypt. Not that they were evil before and they didn't want to go out of Egypt. They are evil because they didn't want to go out of Egypt. But other Mefarshim say that Rashi actually says they were evil and they didn't want to go out of Egypt. And they explain it based on the Pasuk on Shemos, chapter 3, Pasuk number 12, where Moshe Rabbeinu is asking Hashem, who am I that I should go to Paroi and that I should take out the Jewish people from Egypt? And Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, what importance do I have to speak to kings? And even if I'm important enough to speak to kings, what merits do the Jewish people have that you are going to make the miracle and that I will be able to take him out of Egypt? And Hashem answers him in Pasuk number 12, Ki eye imach, that the importance is that I will be with you, meaning that even if you don't feel yourself important, but the fact that I'm with you, that is important enough that you are able to go and speak to Pharaoh. And regarding your second questions, what merit do the Jewish people have that they'll be able to go out of Egypt? And here is a sign to you that I'm the one who sent you, meaning that you're going to have merits to go out. But when you take out the Jewish people out of Egypt, you will worship Hashem on this mountain, meaning that since when you're going to go out of Egypt, you are going to receive the Torah, the merit that you are going to receive the Torah, that is enough merits that you will be able to go out of Egypt. I will make you all the miracles and I will take you out of Egypt because you are eventually going to accept the Torah, and that merit will retroactively serve you now, and that is the merit that I'm going to take you out of Egypt. And the Midrashim explain that the Sar Shel Mitzrayim, the guardian angel of Egypt, had a claim against the Jewish people by saying, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, the Egyptians did idol worship, Vahalalu of the Avodah Zarah, and the Jewish people, while they're in Egypt, they also did idol worship. Then why are you saving the Jewish people and not saving the Egyptians? One of the answers that Hashem gives to the Sar Shel Mitzrayim, to the guardian angels of Egypt, is that the Jewish people are eventually going to accept the Torah, and that merit that they are going to accept the Torah saves them from dying, where the Egyptians aren't going to accept the Torah, therefore they deserve death. Comes out according to this that if the Jewish people would not have accepted to take the Torah at Mount Sinai, then they don't have the merit to go out of Egypt. And they explain that this is exactly why Hashem had to kill 4/5 of the Jews in Egypt, because all the Jewish people were at that point evil. But since they eventually are going to accept the Torah at Sinai, then Hashem views the merit of Torah as they would have it now, and that outweighs their evilness, then Hashem is able to take them out of Egypt. But if they don't want to go out of Egypt, then they will never have the merit of accepting the Torah at Mount Sinai, then they are just evil. Then the guardian angel of Mitzrayim is right. Halalu ovdav de Zorah, v'halalu ovdav de Zorah. The Egyptians did idolatry and the Jewish people did idolatry. Then they don't deserve to go out. Therefore, since those people didn't want to go out and they were evil anyways, then the merit of receiving the Torah did not count for them. Therefore, they had no choice and they had to be killed in Egypt. Sefer Chanukah Satoira from Rab Heschel interprets Rashi's question differently, and he first brings an interesting Medrash. The Medrash is on Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Yudalet Simen Aleph, where the Medrash is interpreting the Pasuk on Tehillim Kof Hei 105, Pasuk number 28. The Pasuk says, Sholach Choshech Vayachshich, Hashem sent darkness and made it dark, Veloimaru as the Varov, and they did not defy his word. The Medrash is trying to explain what is going on and who is supposed to defy Hashem's word. The Medrash says that Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMalachim, Hashem said to the Malachim, HaMitzrim Reruim Likud B'Choshech, that the Egyptians deserve to be punished by darkness. Miyad, right away, Iskimon Kulon Ke'achas, everybody agreed as one, Velo Himru, and they did not defy, meaning that they were not in disagreement, that everybody agreed, and therefore the punishment was meted out. Sefer Chanukah Satoira asks a question, if that is true, that everybody was unanimous with Hashem, that the Egyptians deserve the plague of darkness, why then did Hashem give him the plague of darkness? Meaning that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph 17a, brings Omar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, Sanhedrin Shirao Kulon Choiva, if all the judges of Sanhedrin saw fit to convict a defendant, Patri Noisoi, then that defendant is acquitted. The Gemara explains why is he acquitted. The Gemara answers that since in capital cases where there is corporal punishment, we require to have overnighting of the decree, meaning even when the majority of Bezdin finds a person guilty, we still are not allowed to give him the sentence right away. We require to have an overnight delay to give opportunity to find a basis on which to acquit the defendant. And in this case, since it's a unanimous decision and all the members of the Sanhedrin know that it is a unanimous decision, then none of them is going to look and find a way to acquit this person, then we cannot follow court proceedings, that our delaying overnight is not going to accomplish for us to find a merit on this person. Therefore, we acquit him in this case. Sefer Chanukas HaTorah asks, if that Gemara is correct, then in our Medrash, where Hashem came to the angels and said that the Egyptians deserve darkness, do you agree? And everybody agreed with Hashem. We know that the heavenly court works like our court. Then we should not punish the Egyptian with darkness, because if everybody found the Egyptians guilty, then according to the Jewish law, the Egyptians would end up being innocent. And in this case, since the whole Bezen Shalmala, since the whole upper court found the Egyptians guilty, that they deserve darkness, then we should acquit them. And Sefer Chanukas HaTorah says that this is what Rashi means to say. Rashi is asking, why did the Egyptians get Makas Choshech? Why did they get punishment by darkness? Since it was a unanimous decision against the Egyptians that they should get darkness, why did Hashem in fact give him? Since when everybody says the person is guilty, he is acquitted. Sefer Chanukas HaTorah answers that the rule that when everybody finds a person guilty, he is acquitted, is because they're not going to find a merit for him to be acquitted. And we can't overnight that decree. But that is only when everybody found them guilty for the same reason. But if Sanhedrin find a person guilty because of different reasons, meaning that certain members of the Sanhedrin believes he's guilty for this reason and not that reason, and certain members of the Sanhedrin believe that is guilty for that reason and not that reason, but all of the members of the Sanhedrin find them guilty, but for different reasons, since they're not the same reasons, then if you overnight the verdict, it's possible that one of them will change their mind and will see, as the other's opinion, that his reason is really not as good. As a matter of fact, the other rabbis don't hold his reason, and he will find the person innocent. And when there is a possibility that you are going to find the other person innocent, then we following procedure, and then the verdict stands, even though in the end all of them said that this person is guilty. Sefer Chanukas HaTorah explains that this is exactly what happened by Makas Choshech, meaning that Hashem proclaimed that the Egyptians deserved darkness, and all the Bezdin agreed with Hashem that the Egyptians deserve darkness. Then Rashi asks a question, if that is true, how come Hashem actually gave the darkness on the Egyptians when everybody finds a person guilty, then he's innocent? Rashi answers that the darkness came because of two reasons, not because of a unanimous reason. If it would be for one reason, then the darkness would not come over the Egyptians. But since the darkness came for two reasons, one, that Hashem didn't want the Egyptians to see that the Jewish people are being killed, they're being buried, and the second, that Hashem wanted that the Jewish people should go in the house of the Egyptians and find the gold and silver, like that when they come out, they'll be able to take it with them. Since there is two reasons, then we could find the Egyptians guilty, and then Hashem gave on the Egyptians Makas Choshech, the Maka of darkness. I wanted to add that we could see clearly here who is the angel that held that the reason that the plague should come is that the Jewish people are going to die and they are going to be buried and the Egyptians should not see. I wanted to say that this must be the guardian angel of Mitzrayim. We find any place that the Egyptians are punished, for example, in the crossing of the sea, the Sarshal Mitzrayim, the guardian angel of Mitzrayim, is there trying to defend the Egyptians. And here in Makas Choshech, according to the Midrash, he is silent, he doesn't argue, and he agrees with Hashem that the Egyptians deserve darkness. Could only be, since he knows that 4/5 of the Jewish people are going to die in this plague, he is happy, and he doesn't mind that the Egyptians receive a minor plague of darkness in comparison to the Jewish plague that 4/5 of them will die. Therefore, he says to Hashem, go ahead, give on the Egyptians the Makkah of Choshech. And the other angels, since they know that Hashem wants the Jewish people to get the wealth of Mitzrayim, they agree with Makkas Choshech because of the wealth of Mitzrayim. Therefore, we see again that since it's a split decision, meaning that there is two distinct reasons for the plague of darkness, therefore they were punished by darkness. Before we finish the shir, I wanted to give the opinion of the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra believes that the plague of darkness was just like a heavy fog that you find sometimes across the ocean, and the fog is so thick that you can't distinguish between day and night, and that fog could sometimes stay for 5 days. And the Ibn Ezra continues and says, "Vani yoisi shom pamim rabois," that I was in this fog many times, and this is the clouds and the fog and the darkness that was over Egypt. Sefer Torah Tamima brings a novel idea regarding the thickness of the fog. As we mentioned, the Madrash says that the thickness of the fog was k'oive dinar zohav, as thick as a golden dinar. Sefer Torah Tamima says that lula de mistapina, had I not been afraid of innovating something that I didn't hear from anybody else, I would say that this darkness wasn't actually a darkness outside, that cataracts grew in the Egyptian's eye, meaning that there was a covering over the eye of the Egyptian as thick as a golden dinar that prevented him from seeing the light, and he was in darkness because he was blind for the days of the plague of darkness. That the darkness that came over Egypt, it's a personal darkness where you have cataracts over your eyes and you cannot see outside because of your handicap. Also, it's important to know that the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam hold that the plague of darkness wasn't 6 days, as Rashi says. They hold it was actually for 3 days, and they hold what is written in Pasuk number 22, that there was extreme darkness over Egypt for 3 days, is the same darkness that is written on Pasuk number 33. In 33 is just describing what kind of darkness it was, that a person could not see his fellow and nobody could get up from his place for 3 days. But that is the same 3 days. But Rashi disagrees with this opinion. Mefarshim explained that the reason Rashi disagrees with this opinion is that if it is true that Pasuk number 23 is a description of the 3 days that is written on Pasuk number 22, then the Torah should not repeat the words Shloishes Yomim. The Torah could have said that it's going to be extreme darkness for 3 days. In these days, a person didn't see his fellow and nobody got up from his place. Why do you have to say again 3 days? Since the whole plague took place only in 3 days, obviously when nobody sees and nobody gets up is those 3 days. Therefore, Rashi holds there is two sets of 3 days. The first 3 days was extreme darkness where a person could still move, and the second 3 days was a thick darkness that nobody could move. And the pasuk of the plagues finishes, L'chol b'nei Yisrael ha'yo'or b'moishvoy, and for all the Jewish people, there were light in their dwellings. The simple interpretation is that there was light in the dwellings of the Jewish people, meaning that they were not afflicted by the plague of darkness. And the Rachaim HaKadosh interprets that Oir B'moish Voisom, there was light in the dwellings of the Egyptians, that for the Egyptians it was dark and the Jew it was light, even though they were in the same house. For one it was light and for the other one it was darkness. I wanted to say that when the Torah tells me, L'chol b'nei Yisrael ha'yo'or b'moish voisom, that to all the Jewish people there was light in their dwellings, the Torah is telling me a very important message and something very deep. And this is based on the famous Gemara in Megillah, Daf Tezayin, Omed Beis, 16b, where there the Gemara analyzes the Pasuk in Megillah's Esther, chapter 8, Pasuk 16, where it says, "Layhudim oiso oiro v'simcha v'sosem v'kor," that the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. There the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Oira zu Torah. That when he says that the Jewish people had light, that means the light of the Torah. V'chen Oimer, as it's written in Proverbs chapter 6, Pasuk 23, Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or, that a commandment is a lamp or a candle, and Torah is light. So we see clearly that when the Torah refers to or, the Torah means that or is Torah. And as we mentioned before, that the reason that 4/5 of the Jews died in this plague is because they didn't want to go out of Egypt. And we mentioned what is the crime about not wanting to go out of Egypt. We said that since the only merit that we are going to be able to go out of Egypt, since we were sinners in Egypt, was that Hashem was going to count for us retroactively the fact that we are going to receive the Torah, that we are going to accept the Torah, retroactively these merits will be counted, and that is the merits that we are going to go out of Egypt. And since these people didn't want to go out of Egypt, then retroactively they cannot receive the merits of receiving the Torah, therefore they had to perish in Egypt. But for those 1/5 Jews that wanted to go out of Egypt and they survived the plague of darkness, they have retroactively the merit of receiving the Torah. And that is what the Torah is telling you here. The Torah is explaining to you how come these Jews survive where the other Jews died. Therefore the Torah tells you, ulechol bnei Yisrael, for these bnei Yisrael that are surviving, haya oir b'moishvoisom, they had the light in their dwellings. Light is Torah. Since they had Torah in their dwellings, retroactively they had the merit of Torah, and that merit that they had Torah, that caused them to survive, because these Jews wanted to go out of Egypt, and if they go out of Egypt, they'll receive the Torah in the desert, therefore they survived. And Hashem Yisborach should help that the same way that we had this Geula, this redemption, and the same way that in Megillas Esther we had another redemption, we should again have the redemption soon. Mashiach should come. Beis Hamikdash rebuild. Bimheiro b'yomeinu. Amen.